I don't know if you're like me, but it's always a fun time when we can get together and we can sing together. And music really has an incredible part in worship. And you see that throughout the scriptures. Music is part of worshiping God. And it's a part of God's design and creation. I believe he put within us music. Some of us more than others. But I'm not one of the talented, but nevertheless, music is a crucial part of worship. And we're at a passage in the book of Ephesians where we're going to talk about partly music. And partly, what role does music play, or what is music as far as it's an evidence of what in our heart and in our spirit? So in Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to kind of be picking up where we left off last week. We were in Ephesians chapter 5, and we finished half of verse 18. Now, we started in verse 15 last week, and in verse 15, we looked at the importance of being attentive to our walk. In other words, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. So in other words, pay attention to your walk. Pay attention to how you are walking. And then we talked about the understanding of God's will. We noted that in Ephesians chapter 1 in verse 4, it says that we are to be holy and without blame before Him in love. It also says in Ephesians 1, verse 12, that we are to be to the praise of His glory. You know, we need to be understanding of God's will. Ephesians 5, 17 says, "Wherefore be you not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." In verse 18, we see this admonition: "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess." And we talked about last time we were together about that command that we are to not drink alcohol to be drunk. Drunkenness is forbidden in the scriptures. And it is very clear. And we talked about that at length last time we were together. Today we're going to follow up with the remaining portion of that verse, verse 18, where it says, "But be filled with the Spirit." Now, as you study the Bible, as you are a student of the Bible, and you are, if you are a Christian, you are to be a student of the Scriptures. All right, so we're all to be studying the Scriptures together. It's always important to take what you read in the context of what you're reading. So in other words, context means who is writing it, to whom is it written, what is the flow, what is it talking about, who is it talking about, and to make sure that you understand those things. Now, this verse has had many different interpretations down through the centuries in the church. There still remain several different interpretations today of this verse. And my intention today is to give you what I believe this context is teaching in regards to be filled with the Spirit. Now, first of all, in the context, you notice that it is in conjunction with, it comes right along with the admonition or the command, "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess." So these two commands are somewhat linked together. And at first read, it might kind of seem like, what is Paul talking about? These don't really fit together, because on one hand, you're talking about the Spirit, and on the other hand, you're talking about wine. And you're talking about drunkenness, and drunkenness is certainly something forbidden. It's not good. I believe we all will understand that when you drink too much wine, you get what? You get drunk, right? Okay, so you have this idea of Be not drunk with wine. In other words, do not allow wine to overwhelm you and have influence over you. This is that's a passive verb, which means it's be not drunk with wine. In other words, wine has that kind of influence upon you, makes you drunk. Now, and be filled with the Spirit, another passive verb. In other words, the Spirit needs to be filling you, and this is a present tense verb. Why do I make a big deal about that? Present tense in the Greek usually can be translated in a continual manner. In other words, and be continually filled with the Spirit. That's an important aspect. That's an important truth for us, because I believe what Paul has been getting at as he's been teaching us throughout this book, and that's what he's been doing. He's teaching. This is teaching theology, teaching practical insights on how to live, and he's teaching us the importance of walking as children of the light, of being continually filled with the Spirit. Now, if you're a good student of the Scriptures and you've been a Christian for a while, you would say back to me, well, Pastor, when I was saved, I received the Spirit of God in my life. The Spirit of God dwells within me. So what then does this mean to be filled with the Spirit? You bring up some good questions, and these are things that we're going to be talking about today, as long as we have time. The context in which we're looking at here is the importance of being wise in our walk, being prudent, be understanding of the will of the Lord. And it's no surprise to you that we've been having these kinds of instructions for the last several weeks in our messages. And maybe you've sensed a tone coming across in the messages we are to be doing something. We are to be living this way. And that's the tone of the passage as the Apostle Paul is exhorting us to a certain kind of life. As we think about this, I believe the point of this statement that Paul is getting at in this context is not about the fact of the Spirit's presence, but about our submission to his influence. Now let me say that again. It's not about the Spirit's presence in a believer's life, because Paul teaches in other places the Spirit comes and dwells within believers, and it is pretty clear he's speaking here to professing believers. So it's not about, the question is not about the Spirit's presence here. It's about our submission to his influence. Or about, it's a control issue. Something that you might notice here in this context is, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. There is an observable result. In other words, when you take too much wine, you become drunk. That is observable, correct? You are able to see that. It is something that can be measured, if you will. So that is observable. Now take that concept and be filled with the Spirit. Should not the Spirit's presence in our life be observable? Yes, it should be. Yes, it should be. And Paul's admonition here is don't be satisfied walking around as a believer but not exhibiting the presence of the Spirit of God. In other words, be observable, be obvious. I am God's child and filled with the Spirit of God. God's Spirit lives within me, and it is clearly evident and seen. That's God's call for us. Now, think about some other things. Think about Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, you have what? Fruit of the Spirit. Now, why would Paul give us that? Because that is evidence of the Spirit's presence in our life. It is an observable fact. And so the truth here is, It's not about whether the Spirit resides in you, believer. No, he does. It's more about, are you submitting to his influence? Is he in control? Is the Spirit the one that is filling you to the brim and overflowing to the point that it is very recognizable? He is a child of God. Now, we could talk a lot more about that concept, but I want to give you a couple other scriptures just to help you understand the truth that the Spirit of God indeed does dwell within believers. Because, listen, you must understand that. You have to grab a hold of that truth. When you become a child of God, when you trust Jesus Christ to be your Savior, the Spirit of God comes and indwells within you. So God's presence is there. Let's look at a couple passages. Just Romans chapter 8 is a great place to start. Romans chapter 8. I'm just going to read a few verses from this passage, but this is a great passage for you as a believer to understand who you are, the Spirit's presence in your life, and his power in your life. But let me just read a couple verses. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Notice that. Dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. That's pretty clear, isn't it? Verse 10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Verse 11, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. So believer, listen, God's Spirit dwells within you. And the truth of that should then bear itself upon Ephesians 5:18, but be filled with the Spirit should register within our heart, yes, the Spirit lives within me, I must submit to his influence and his control, and my life needs to be obviously his. First John also speaks to this point in 1 John chapter 3, verse 24. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 24, and he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given to us. You know, Spirit is a gift to you. God's Spirit living within you. I mean, we don't know what it's like. You know, think about the incredible privilege it is to have the God's Spirit, God himself, his Spirit, going with us anywhere and everywhere we go, always there. I mean, this is the fulfillment of Jesus' promise where he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. While you're in 1 John, look at chapter 4 and verse 13. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. Something else, and I'm going to take a little bit of time to teach you today. This is maybe half teaching, half preaching today, but as you study the scriptures, another question that may arise is the interpretation or understanding of the word Spirit. And I think that's a very good question, and as a Bible student, you should be asking the question, when it says Spirit in your Bible, who or what is it talking about? Because I want to tell you something. Every time you see Spirit in your Bible, it is not always talking about the Holy Spirit. You need to look and study the context so that you understand who is it talking about. I did a little bit of study in the book of Ephesians, And just to understand spirit, that word spirit appears 15 times in the book of Ephesians. Two times it appears with the adjective holy, Holy Spirit. Who do you think that's talking about? The Holy Spirit. Two times it appears generically as the unseen part of a person. And how do I know that? How can I interpret? You interpret that by the context in which you're reading it. In one place, the context infers that that word spirit is used to speak of Satan. I mean, if you want to look at 2:2, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. See context? Context tells you that's not the Holy Spirit. The spirit there seems to be referring to Satan. And the remaining times when you see the word spirit, other than the times that I've already mentioned, when you just see that word spirit, the context is teaching us and telling us that it is the Holy Spirit. And this passage in our chapter 5, verse 18, seems to be one of those places. So we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So in this passage, be attentive to your walk. Pay attention that you're walking diligently and carefully, believer. We also see that we are to be understanding of God's will. Understand your purpose for life. God's purpose for you. Be praised to His glory. Be holy and blameless. Third thing is, be not drunk with wine. That's a pretty clear command. And the fourth one is, be filled with the Spirit. Now, we've talked a little bit about observable facts. So in other words, when a person is drunk, it is observable, it's measurable, it's evident they are drunk. When a person is filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, it is to be something that is observable. And Paul makes that point clear in the following verses. Because what you have is a series of participles, a series of verbals that seem to bring evidences of the Spirit's filling to light. Now, these are not, I don't believe these are all the evidences of being filled with the Spirit, but I believe these are some important ones that Paul's bringing to light in this context. Look at verse 19. Speaking to yourselves, there's the first one, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, there's the second one, and making melody, there's the third one, in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks, fourth one, always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves, there's the fifth one, one to another in the fear of God. So isn't it interesting that in the context, be filled with the Spirit, Paul follows up with these five participles, and notice what they are. I think this is tremendous. You're speaking, you're singing, you're making melody in your heart to the Lord, and you're giving thanks and submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of Christ. Why did Paul go here? Why is this now something that is brought up? I believe what Paul, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, is saying to us is, listen, be filled with the Spirit. You are to be obviously His. And that is obvious when you are doing these kinds of things. When there is speaking one to another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And what does that mean? Does that mean that you go around sing-songy, just singing all the time to one another? Hey, Matt, go get that hammer. I need to pound in that nail. It sounds ridiculous, right, kids? But listen, no, I don't think that's the point. I think the point is that we are to be speaking and edifying one another, endeavoring to build one another up through the ministry of Psalms are songs specifically that we have in the book of Psalms. Hymns, these are songs, spiritual songs that are put together for the use in the church. And then spiritual songs are, and it's hard to differentiate between all these different terms, but basically they're all music that are centralized on Jesus Christ to give him glory and to give him praise. So let me ask you this. Why do you think we sing in our worship services? Well, perhaps it's because it's an evidence of the Spirit of God in our life. And we sing, because we are overflowing with who God is and the Spirit's presence. And we want to be observant. We want to be obviously His. And so we sing of Him. We sing of Him. Singing, or speaking unto yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Singing, this is the use of the voice. Making melody has the idea of the melody of music, also includes some aspects of instruments. Singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Oh, I want to make note of in your heart to the Lord. I believe that's an important thing because, listen, who can play music? Christians are the only ones who can play music, right? No, there's a lot of people in this world who can play music. Who can play Christian music? Only Christians, right? No. Anybody could play a Christian song, right? Right? Correct? Listen, I want you to notice here. I believe this point should be well taken here. Making melody in your heart to the Lord. All right? More than just words coming out of your mouth. There needs to be worship. There needs to be a heart, an inner attitude of worship to our Lord. You know, when we sing in our services, I know, trust me, I know. I've got a lot of distractions when I'm sitting here in the pew. A lot of things happening, a lot of things running through my mind. It is difficult to sit there and focus and worship the Lord as we sing. But you know what? We need to be endeavoring to do that. That our heart is matching the words that are coming out of our mouth. You ever sing that song, I Surrender All? And think back, what did I just say? Wow. Really? All right. So we need to be filled with the Spirit. We need to be obviously His. It needs to be observable. And notice that each one of these things are observable. Speaking, you hear it. Singing, you hear it. Making melody, you hear it in your heart to the Lord. What's the next one? Just giving you a chance to look at your Bibles. Giving thanks. Giving thanks. What's it say? It says, giving thanks, verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Easy, huh? I'm just trying to make sure you're awake. Is that easy? No, it's not. Let me give you a clue. Listen, there's a reason why it's included in this passage of being filled with the Spirit. Because if we're going to give thanks, what's it say? Give thanks always for all things. I want to submit to you, dear ones, listen, that happens only in the Spirit. Only in the power of God's Spirit in your life. Because you know what? All things always includes the times when you are hurt. The times when things do not go your way. The time when you are taken advantage of. It includes all of those times. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, do you have to be thankful for all these things? Well, you know, let me make a point here. We don't have to be happy about it. We don't have to be like, hey, you know, I'm glad I just got robbed. You know, thank you that I've been robbed. No, you don't have to be. But listen, we are to have a spirit and an attitude of thanksgiving to the Lord. God, I'm yours. And what I have or what I had is yours. You see, there's an attitude. There's an observable difference between a person that is filled with the Spirit and a person who is not. And we're talking Christians here. And so what is the command, church? We're to be filled. We are to be filled with... Now, it's not a question of the presence of the Spirit of God, right? We've established that. Spirit's living within you. And you've got all the ability and the power to please God, live righteously, and to do these things. Well, where's the problem? Me. I'm the problem. My flesh is the problem. My own sinful nature can get in the way. I can stomp down the Spirit of God's presence in my life. Absolutely. You know what? Listen. Allow today to be a day where you say, you know what? No more. God's present within me through the person of the Spirit. And the call for me is to be filled with the Spirit, that I be obviously His. And you know what? For the past months or years, I've been hiding. Yeah, I've been a Christian, but you know what? I have been living for it. I haven't been obviously His. You know what? Today's God's calling out to you and to me. You know what? Make it obvious. How do you do that? Well, a couple things. Be sensitive to the things of the Lord. Be sensitive to the things of the Lord. What do I mean by that? Well, understand Him as the Creator and pay attention to His creation. You know what? That will cause you to sing. Be sensitive to the things of the Lord. Be observant to those that are around you when they're hurting or in need or need encouragement. Be listening to the Word of God. Be hearing it, paying attention to it. Open your Bible throughout the week and allow God to speak His Word into your heart, into your life. You see, as you do these things, what you're doing is you are giving God an opportunity to have your life, to have your time, to work in your life, to use you. Give God those opportunities. Give Him the time. Be obviously His. That last participle, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God, we will talk further about that in weeks to come. But we're going to suffice it to say that this is a very adequate introduction to our next passage. Our next passage has what subject matter? Husbands and wives. And marriage is being attacked today. Husbands and wives, listen, God has some admonition for us, some encouragement, some pointed things, and be in prayer as we approach this. And remember the context. Be filled in the Spirit. And as you and I walk as children of the light and are filled in the Spirit, with the Spirit, as we are obviously His, God blesses relationships. God blesses. And so that's the direction we're going to head in the weeks to come. God, we offer our time and this word unto You. I thank You and I praise You for Your precious word. I pray, God, that we would be a church, that we would be a people, a body that is obviously Yours. I pray that we would display, be overflowing with the fruit of the Spirit. May You fill us with goodness and righteousness and truth. May this body May this body see tremendous results as we practice these things. In Jesus' name, amen.